This is a Swanscast Extra, the number one Sydney Swans fans weekend preview podcast. In this week's episode, we preview the Swans' ninth round clash against the Kangaroos at Bellerive Oval on Saturday night. We discuss selections, what we're looking forward to, matchups and key points, and give the weekend forecast. With me tonight is Swanscast regular and latest fan interviewee, Heather Quinlan. Heather, thank you so much for coming on again.
Absolutely fantastic to be here, Justin. And as we say, 2 days out from the election, you know, it's going to be a tight race.
Yes.
Between the blues and the reds. And I'll let you work out who's blue and who's red.
Well, there is an interesting stat that's doing the circles on Twitter and social media at the moment, where when the Swans have played on elections, I believe they've done it 4 times previously. When they've won, I believe Labor's won the federal election, and when they've lost, the Liberals have won the federal election. So no one's actually considered a draw. What do you think might happen in the case of a draw, Heather?
I've actually got no idea. That's called an unannounced question that I haven't prepared for, Justin. I've actually got no idea. I think I'd be fairly shocked if that happened, though, to be honest.
Now, if politics were to follow the way of the football, would that be a hung parliament?
I reckon it probably would.
Well, look, that's not on tonight's agenda, so you're right. I might have ambushed you on that one, but top of the agenda for tonight's show, Heather, is Nick Smith. He is basically ruled out for the season, or just about. He has been put onto the long-term injury list. He has gone in for a second round of surgery to remove some scar tissue on his injured hamstring tendon. I put up an article, a injury update today, and I did a bit of research into what could possibly be the case, and the evidence, as per the medical journals, point to the fact that he could actually have a reasonably serious setback, which could rule him out for up to 3 months, Heather.
Yeah, I was very, very disappointed when I heard that Nick Smith was going back in for surgery. He's obviously been such a terrifically reliable servant of the club and a terrifically talented player for a long, long time. And for him to be sort of injured and then not recover and to have further problems on top of it is quite disappointing, very sad, I think, for a lot of Nick Smith fans. He's one of those players who sort of goes about his business very, very quietly. And as somebody whose maiden name was Smith, I have a very strong affiliation with somebody like Nick Smith, obviously somebody who can sometimes fly under the radar, but who has really been a linchpin of the Swans' defensive unit for a long time. And I fear for his future because hamstrings are notoriously difficult injuries to get right in the first instance. And I feel like when you're having your second lot of surgery on a hamstring and you're in your early 30s, it really doesn't look that good. And I don't want to be negative about it because, you know, every person is different. But at this point, it really doesn't look very good for Nick, and that's a real shame.
No, it doesn't. And look, the injury that he first sustained was in round 21 last year against Melbourne in the first quarter. He pretty much went to the bench at quarter time, and then he was ruled out for the rest of the game. It was originally sort of estimated to be a 6-week injury, although Tom Harley at the time had said that it was a hamstring tendon injury. So I suppose at the time I was a little bit dubious on the injury report, Heather. And look, it kind of raises questions, I suppose, about the diagnosis and the treatment and really the way they've set up the training programs, that a player who was originally ruled out for 6 weeks is basically going to miss an entire season of football with 2 operations.
Yeah, it is a bit strange. I mean, I suspect that there's been omissions of information here. I feel like outright, you know, lying or sort of mistruths aren't where we're headed here. I suspect that there's just more to the story. And, of course, football clubs are entitled to keep sort of confidential information to themselves, but I think that there's requirements from the AFL to be fairly upfront with injuries. But I don't know, in this instance, I feel like we don't have the full story. That's the only thing I can sort of put my finger on at the moment. Yeah. And I just feel like if I was Nick Smith, and in fact, if I was John Longmire and Nick's teammate, I'd be incredibly disappointed.
Yeah.
Because he's such an asset to that back line.
Well, it really brings into question the injury management really over, like, I'd say the last 4 years. You've got Lewis Malekan, who just did a grade 2 strain on his hamstring last year, and he was ruled out for 4 weeks at the beginning of the year. And lo and behold, he's out, constantly out. He's having setback after setback. And it finally comes out, I think around about maybe around 18 or 19, that he'd actually strained both hamstrings twice, which I was quite shocked at. I didn't think that was even possible in modern football, that a player with training and, you know, adequate support would actually do that. Kurt Tippett's always a bit of a lightning rod and a very divisive character within the Swans fan base, but he himself was... at the time internally, and it kind of got leaked out a little bit, he was very disappointed and also quite critical of the Swans' injury management and the fact that at times he was being jabbed to play when his ankle was basically destroyed. So when he had his operation, he retired a couple months afterwards because he was essentially told if he wants to actually be able to walk, he shouldn't continue playing football. And Sam Reed... Every time he goes injured, it's like he's off to the glue factory. He's out for a season. I mean, he injures a finger, he's out for the season. So, yeah, it's just really weird at the moment, Heather. I don't know what to make of it all.
No, I don't really know what to make of it all either. I would note, and I'm in no way any kind of, soothsayer or doomsday merchant here, but I do note that Dr. Nathan Gibbs was a terrifically respected and highly regarded sports doctor who worked with the Swans for many years. He retired a few years ago, or left the Swans a few years ago. And since then, we have had a bit of an issue with some injuries, some of them soft tissue. It would be fantastic to have him back still working with the club because I know he was very, very highly regarded. But look, you know, I don't know whether I'm trying to link these two things together, but I just feel like he was a bit of a loss for the Swans at the time.
I don't think you're alone in this. And it's something that I raised back in 2017 because there had been some misdiagnosis of injuries, even in 2016 and certainly in early 2017. And that's continued. I think we'll move on to the next thing in a moment. But essentially, when you're looking at diagnosis of certain injuries that turn out to be three times as long or even twice as long, I think that raises serious questions. Jared McVay's initial diagnosis was nearly 3 months, yet 3 weeks later, he's basically ready in 3 to 4 weeks. So it's kind of like, okay, what kind of injury do you think it is? Are you correctly diagnosing and looking at the medical evidence and formulating an opinion, or is it sort of a little bit of guesswork? I don't know where it is. But again, it comes back to Nick Smith. How can a 6-week injury turn into a season injury with two operations and the second operation, which is unavoidable in the end, to sort of remove scar tissue, which inhibited his running? And the other one you want to look at is Sam Naismith, who's gone under a second... He hasn't gone under a reconstruction, but he's had an arthroscopy, which basically suggests he's either injured his meniscus or he's got some issues with his tendon that he has to have repaired, which essentially rules him out for the season anyway.
Yeah, well, I feel like that unless we're in the Swans inner sanctum, we're probably not going to find out the answers to any of these questions, really. But the fantastic thing is that we have a forum to speculate, and speculate we will, Justin.
Yes, and fortunately we've become, I would say, pretty good at reading between the lines in the last couple of years, because a couple of the injury predictions we've been spot on. But look, let's move on to the actual game that's coming up. Let's talk less about what's happened in the past. We've got team changes, Heather. So we've got one in and one out. Are you excited for these changes? Because I definitely am.
Well, yes, I am. We've got James Rowbottom in and we have Kieran Jack omitted. Again, a little bit of a mystery around the exclusion of Kieran Jack from this game. He obviously took a bit of a knock in that game against Essendon last week, but he did actually come back onto the field at the end of the game. The coach has sort of said that he didn't come up for the game this week, but sort of and in the selections he's been described as being injured. So I can only assume it was that knock that's caused him to be out. But yeah, it's he hasn't sort of been starring in the matches that he's played in recent weeks anyway. So there is a little bit of mystery surrounding that. But I think there's a lot of interest in seeing how James Rowbottom goes again. Yes. He's played a couple of games so far, looked pretty lively, and we're all excited to see a young player come in, I think.
Yes. And look, the Kieran Jack thing, that could have been delayed onset of concussion. He might have been concussed and incorrectly diagnosed. I wouldn't put it past them, to be honest. You don't really know. He was looking pretty good in the first half. Got that head knock roughly, I think, just after he had his free kick. Came to the bench. He had 8 disposals at that time. Came back on at halftime or after halftime and had donuts for the rest of the game. And he still played a fair bit for the rest of the game. James Rowbottom, he has been absolutely killing at the kneeful. So he shouldn't have been dropped in the first place. The funny thing was he was dropped for Kieran Jack and now he's coming back in for Kieran Jack. So I think that tells you Kieran Jack is essentially Sydney's 22nd player at the moment.
Yeah, I feel like he is, and look, it is most likely that he's just been suffering some after effects of that head knock. I just feel like that there wasn't a lot of sort of information, given out by the club in that regard. But look, on the positive side, it is terrific that there is somebody sort of champing at the bit, ready to go and come in, and somebody who's got a lot of upside. Youth, enthusiasm, a bit of talent, a bit of toe, and we're all looking forward to seeing sort of James Rowbottom have another go at it. And really considering that Sydney's playing a team this week that has a good selection of young players and a number of players with a bit of speed about them, it'll be good to see how he goes against North.
Yeah, and he is a pretty good ball user. He's an inside midfielder who can play a bit on the outside, and he's shown that he's got no problem finding the goals whatsoever. So I am really excited about this. And he was basically the top two or top three players in the Brisbane game that we lost, and then he was voted best on ground in the game that we beat Sydney Uni. So, and that's despite a much improved Ryan Clark, having 40-odd disposals. So I'm really excited that he's coming back in, Heather. But, as you said before, North have got some nice youngsters, so let's talk a bit about the North match. So, our record at Bell Reef is pretty good, Heather. We've actually beaten them twice there, the only 2 times we've played them.
Isn't that fantastic? I feel like when we go down there, I feel like some of these Sydney players have, of course, been, it's very pretty balmy up in Sydney at the moment, where there's not a lot of rain, there's not a lot of cold, and it's all fairly sort of balmy. People are walking around in singlet tops and, heading down to Bondi every second day. So they're going to head down to Belle Reeve, and it'll be about 8 or 9 degrees down there, tomorrow night, maybe even a bit less. It's going to be a bit nippy.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see how they go. But they do have a reasonable record. Actually, they have a fairly reasonable record in Tasmania altogether, really, in recent years. So, I feel like that they've got as good a shot as anyone of beating North. They have a terrific record against North Melbourne. I mean, let's face it. I mean, I think, they've won the vast majority of their games over the last decade against North Melbourne, wherever they've played them, including at the SCG. So, I know that each game is different and what happens in the past doesn't count. But I think if you're a team that's searching for some positives to take into a game, the fact that they've got a great record against North Melbourne will certainly be talked about in the preliminaries before the match. I fail to see how they couldn't actually be mentioned. So, all power to them. I feel like that North, I had grave doubts about how they would go this season. They've actually performed a little bit better than what I thought. And I think really compared with where the Swans are, it could well turn out to be a really exciting, pulsating match.
Yeah, it's two teams who are both at the bottom, both on 8 points. Not much difference in percentage between them and, not much difference in points scored for or against. So this is going to be a pretty big 8-point match because I don't think Sydney's going to play finals this year, but it'll give them a chance to move a bit up the ladder. And it might also be a chance for the, well, a losing team will basically sort of remain in that area, because you look ahead at Sydney's fixture, it's not looking that good. They're probably going to struggle to win some of those games against some pretty quality teams coming up. And North Melbourne, they haven't exactly got it easy either. But you're right, Heather. I think Swans have won the last four times they've played in Tasmania, going back to the 2012 Hawthorn match, when Gibson injured himself, and then we won by nearly six goals against Hawthorn in our premiership year.
I feel like Adam Goods had a really good game in that match. And, it was tops. It was tops. And we always love betting Hawthorn, don't we? It doesn't matter.
Oh, where. Yeah.
You could actually play them on a postage stamp in somebody's back pocket, you know, in downtown Wagga Wagga, and I'd still get excited to beat them.
Yep. Funny enough, the last time we did play them in Tasmania, well, in Ballarive Oval, was actually 2016. And we had Gary Rowan in the team. We had Tom Mitchell in the team. We had Kurt Dippett in the team. And we had Dan Hannabry in the team. So we had a few players who are unfortunately no longer with us. Xavier Richards was in the forward line at that point as well, trying to make a bit of a fledgling career, which didn't quite work out. But we started off with a bit of a bang, and then North came back and almost had a chance to win it.
Yeah, well, look, so much has changed. It's like, it's really like, you know, comparing apples with oranges, yeah. I suppose. So we've just got to look at sort of what's sort of really happening at the moment. But, you know, I look at some of those players and I think, wow, I mean, Xavier Richards, boy, I don't think he played his I don't think he played his efforts to be sort of reselected and retained in the team that well. I think he might have holed out on that one.
Yeah.
To use a golfing term, but look, you know, really, really interesting game on Saturday night, and you know, if your sort of fetish is sort of, you know, watching bottom of the ladder teams sort of fight it out the race to the bottom, this might be the game for you,
yep.
But I feel like the Swans fans will still be able to get a lot out of it, because really it's such a competitive league at the moment that, you know, teams can lose a few games and then win a few games, and then all of a sudden they breathe life into their season again. So, you know, I am not ruling out the Swans doing that, because they're the kind of team that could seriously do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And nobody would bat an eyelid. I feel too, like you, Justin, that we'll probably miss the finals. But, you know, if they strung a few games together and managed to get on a roll, anything is possible.
Yeah. I think you can go back to the last time we played, and it really was a phenomenal result. We had the Aaliyah of Magic Door match. It was an amazing game to watch, and to watch those two players specifically, just the Sudanese players, come out and really give it their all. Magic Door was amazing. He was electric for North Melbourne, but he was only just slightly beaten out by Aaliyah, who was absolutely fantastic as well. So, look, Aaliyah got the winning goal in the end, and he was superb on the night. But amazingly, Jack Zeeble got the three Brownlow votes. Ben Ronk got the two for the five goals. And Todd Goldstein did not get the Brownlow votes despite having 52 hit-outs. It was actually Sean Higgins who got one Brownlow vote for 33 disposals and killing it in the midfield.
Yeah, you know, I actually thought that Magic Door won that contest between he and Aaliyah on the night. But really and truly, you've totally got bragging rights when you kick the winning goal, and you've got you can just run around, you know, showing everyone your big biceps and go, you know what, I am the man.
Yeah.
So one can only hope that we see a little bit more of that tomorrow night. And I just feel like the commentators may well be focusing in on that matchup.
Yeah, look, the teams, they usually line up pretty well, and we're going to miss McVeigh for this one, I think, because he's usually had a couple of really, really good games against North Melbourne, and his distribution has been key to us winning. I still remember when he kicked those two goals against North Melbourne when he'd blown up his hamstrings back in 2017, when we're kind of struggling to just get games organised and games together. So he was pretty important for us last year. But if we look at some of the statistics from the last time we played them, We had 16 more disposals. We had 15 more marks. They destroyed us, mostly Todd Gold's team, with 52 hitouts in the ruck. It was 56 to 25 hitouts, which is phenomenal. The inside 50s and clearances were pretty much the same. 8 less contested possessions. You know, nothing major there. But the big ones, we had 7 more marks inside 50, and that was Ben Ronk kicking 5 goals. 11 less free kicks, which is just bonkers. Mm. And 29 less one percenters. So that's defensive acts, which is for a team that prides themselves on pressure, that's pretty unacceptable.
Yeah. Look, I'm thinking too about this game on Saturday. You know, North Melbourne are winning a lot of that hard inside ball at the moment. And I feel like that's an area where the Swans could be a bit exposed. And, you know, you look at, I mean, some of those stats you've just read out are quite extraordinary, and you would have to think that on the majority of occasions, those kind of stats would mean that North would win. So I feel like the Swans were going to have to play a lot tighter than that if they've got any hopes of winning on Saturday night.
Yeah, absolutely. They're going to have to play a lot tighter than they've been playing, you know, so far this year. And look, North Melbourne haven't exactly been playing very well. They had a couple of late comebacks. They've really struggled in some of the games. Some of the games they've looked really good in. Other games, they've just looked like a rank bottom two club. And, you know, their ladder position really showed where they were for quite a long time. They were pretty much bottom two, bottom three for the first, I think, 6-7 rounds of the season until they notched their second win.
And so a question for you, Justin, actually without notice, and I apologise for this, but where would you see Callum Sinclair in that matchup? And this is sort of harking back to the hitouts there, the 31 hitouts differential, 56 to 25 last time. Where do you see Callum Sinclair fitting into this on Saturday night, given that there's, you know, sort of, he's only had a sort of modest season so far?
Yeah, look, he, strangely enough, he actually picked up 3 coaches' votes. So while I think most people regarded his game as poor, average to poor, given the fact he was pretty much wiped as far as ruck contest goes, and he did have some impact around the ground, got some goals. I think as far as Sinclair goes, he's going to get beaten in the ruck. And Todd Goldstein is still an excellent tap ruckman. And even then, Ben Brown still matches up on him quite well, and Ben Brown's still very tall, so there's not much height difference. The only way I think that Sinclair can equal or win that contest is he's got to do it on the scoreboard. Because Todd Goldstein, he's another midfielder. He can literally be their 5th or 6th midfielder. He can rack up 18 possessions without any sweat. He can go forward and kick 2 goals, and he can do it all. He's done it all. He's racked up 50 hitouts, kicked 2 goals, and had 20 disposals a couple times in his career. So he can do it. It's really up to Sinclair to limit that and try and hit him back on the scoreboard. That's the only way I think he's actually going to get anything out of that matchup, because Goldstein's going to smash him in the ruck.
Yep. Well, you've read it like a book.
All right, we'll have a quick break and then we'll come right back after intermission.
Welcome to intermission.
Now, Justin, I have an announcement for you. I have a message from one of our joint friends, Josh Marr, and myself. And we both believe that every time somebody has a tooth removed, a new Collingwood fan is born. And I'll just leave that with you as somebody who has visited the dentist this week.
Yes, yes. I unfortunately had a tooth removed, so I am an honorary Collingwood supporter for probably this week. Doesn't mean I'm going to support them. But thank you for that, Heather. I appreciate that. And we're back. Now it's time to have a look at our social question that we put out today, looking ahead at our Round 9 clash against North Melbourne. So, Heather, the question went out on Twitter and Facebook. The question was, the Swans travelled to Tasmania ahead of their Round 9 clash against North Melbourne. What is the one thing the Swans have to get right to win? We've got a few responses back. Do you want to kick us off with a response?
Yes, Jonathan on Twitter said it was simple. We need four quarters of effort again, like last week.
Yeah.
And I think Jonathan from Twitter may well have nailed it.
Yep. That is Josh's catch cry of the year, four quarters of effort. And they brought it. They brought it and they won. So they've done it twice this year against Carlton and Essendon, and then they've won the game.
Yep. Yep. I think so. And Stephen from Facebook says that we need to hold our forward structure so we don't get sucked up too far up the ground. Yeah, that's an interesting comment. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, the AFL would love hearing that sort of thing from the 666 rule, which is probably the most redundant and wasteful rule change in history of the sport. But yeah, look, with Blakey and McCartan in the forward line, we held their defenders accountable last week. So Thompson and McMillan, they love to get off their opponents. So if we do hold the forward structure, we make them accountable. So if they get off and they fluff it up, we've got someone out the back and it's an easy goal. That's a good point. I like it.
Excellent.
Feliz from Facebook says, hungry on the ball contested possessions. I agree with that one, Heather.
I have no arguments with that either. No arguments with that either, particularly because I feel like we're sitting about 18th in that stat in the AFL at the moment.
Yeah, we're not. Our differential is quite poor. We definitely need to win the contested ball. We drew reasonably close with North Melbourne last year when we beat them with that last gasp goal. But North Melbourne, they are a contested ball team. Sean Higgins is in. Jack Zeeble is definitely in. He's their captain and he's been a bit hot and cold. But obviously Ben Cunnington, who is their number one contested ball winner, and he's probably top three or top four in the AFL for contested ball winning ability. His ability to win the ball is, I would say, pretty close to on par with Josh Kennedy, Heather.
Oh, 100%. AFL stats are telling me that he's averaging more than 17 contested possessions a game.
That is phenomenal.
So, that is a nice stat.
It is. It is. That just goes to show how much we have to stop it. So if we can get our own contested possession, we stop them from getting contested possession. And Kate from Facebook says, contested ball again. Showed against Essendon that this is one non-negotiable. Effort plus contested ball equals win. Yep. Nailed it, Heather.
Yep. I support that one. Good work, Kate. Well done.
Now, player of the year votes. So we put out our own player of the year each week. We do that after the match. And then we put out our player of the year votes to the fans so that they can vote on them. So, Heather, can you give us the 5-1 for the player of the year votes?
Yep, delighted to. So this week, the player of the year votes were 5, Parker, 4, Kennedy, 3, the goalpost man, Rampy, 2, Dawson, and 1, Hewitt.
Yeah, they're good votes. Now, I was probably hoping Hewitt would go a little bit higher. He did get 5 coaches' votes, and we talked about that on our last podcast on Sunday. It was Josh and I. We talked about the fact that we undervalued his game in hindsight. When you look at the impact he had, whoever he played on had no impact in the game whatsoever. So the coaches thought he was great, 5 coaches' votes. I think he was the 3rd best voted player on the ground. So it's good to see him get a bit of recognition from that, from the supporters.
Yeah, I think so. And look, I put in my votes, in this as well. And I rated Parker's game absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
I think I actually may have put Rampy above Kennedy because I feel like that, you know, he did a terrific job in defence before his sort of actual antics that really distracted from the game that he had. But look, I feel like George Hewitt had a very slow start to the season. He really wasn't having a lot of defensive impact the way he has sort of in previous couple of seasons. But he's coming good, George Hewitt. I think he's entering a rich vein of form. And, you know, I feel like that he'll continue on. He's the kind of player, I think, that once he gets on a roll, I think he'll continue to be, you know, strong and be really effective for us. And look, let's face it, George Hewitt is never going to win a sprint at the Swans or anywhere else. He is not the fastest player on the field, but he has the ability to be able to be in the right place at the right time and to really hang around the opposition's most influential player and stop them being as effective as what they would. He's a very, very valuable player for the Swans, and I rate him really highly.
We talked about it on the last podcast, the fact that he actually does what he does without infringing. So he very rarely gives away free kicks. I think it's just he's got a really good football IQ, his ability to position himself, know who he's against and their weaknesses and their strengths, but also position himself to be able to win the contest. So not only is he preventing his opponent from getting the ball, and he's big enough and strong enough now to do it. He's, I wouldn't say he's quite gorilla size, but he's, you know, he's no shrinking violet either. So it's not like having Jake Lloyd manning up against him and, you know, you wouldn't expect Jake Lloyd to win it. But he's big enough and strong enough to not only win the ball, but also stop his opponents. So it's been a really good progression the last 2 weeks to see him actually get back to, you know, what we knew he could do last year. And one of the reasons why he was so critical to our game plan, our success, and why he was, I guess, you know, responded by the coaches so much that they voted him so highly.
Absolutely. And I'm just looking at your leaderboard here, Justin. And if you don't mind, I'll read out the vote. So our leaderboard is 20 Josh Kennedy and 14 Dane Rampey, 13 Luke Parker, 13 Isaac Heaney, 8 Jake Lloyd and 7 Alia Alia. I note that we have a few defenders in among that leaderboard, and that probably tells you where the Swans are on the AFL ladder.
Yeah.
What is it telling you, Justin?
The other interesting thing is the next, like, two of the next three are also young players who are up and coming. So Florent and Dawson are like the next two players. So it tells me that this is very much a team transition, and we are seriously lacking in that experience on the field at the moment. Obviously, we don't have McVay. Kieran Jack's pretty much on his last legs. Franklin hasn't had a preseason for 3 years. It also tells me that the midfield has been beaten most weeks, and that the defence has done pretty well, all things considered, to pretty much keep the team from not getting wiped off the park every week.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, and we'll watch with interest as the season progresses, because of course we're up to round 9, so we're actually, you know, more than a third of the way through the season. It seems remarkable, really, in many ways.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Now we'll go back to the game, and we'll talk matchups, key points, and predictions, Heather. So I will kick matchups off, and I've gone a bit speculative on this one, and to be honest, I'd actually like to see it. And that is Alia Alia on Ben Brown. Now, Rampy's normally had the job. Yeah. Rampy gives away quite a lot. But I think Rampy would be better suited if he's able to take a player that's more appropriate to his size. And I suspect that the coaching staff might actually have that trust in Alia to go to Ben Brown now. Because Alia has been taking the centre half forwards every week, pretty much. So, yeah, that's a matchup I want to see.
Well, that's a really interesting one. Can I chuck in a curly one here?
Sure.
Would you imagine that Melican would give Alia any help at any point, and in fact have any kind of matching up on Ben Brown, or is that a bit ludicrous?
I think that's a bit ludicrous, mostly because Ben Brown's a leading forward. He's not a stay-at-home forward. So Melican will get burned on the lead pretty much 10 times out of 10. I can't see Malikan sort of competing with him on a lead. And he doesn't always have these massive long leads. His 20, 30-meter leads, he's very quick. And he's very hard to stop because he's a big boy. He's, 200-odd centimeters and about 100 kilos, right? So he beats Malikan in height and in weight, and certainly in leg speed. So I think Ali is probably the best matchup I've got for him.
Yeah, and I think that'd be really good to watch, actually, because Ben Brown really is, he's a quality forward. I like the way he plays. I like the fact that he leads up the ball, he puts his hands up to the ball, and I think you need a bit of talent to be able to beat him. So I'm actually looking forward to that matchup. I think it's going to be quite interesting. And Ben Brown has had some hot and cold games, you know, games where he's really done absolutely nothing this year, and other games when he's been quite good. So, in general, he's a wonderful talent. So, looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, he went bang last week in the third quarter. So, there's every chance he can go bang again. So, yeah, look, Heather, your matchup, please.
Yeah, Ben Cunnington versus, well, I'm going to say George Hewitt here because I feel like Cunnington has been such a hot player for North this season that we really need to put our best stopping player on him. And I just feel like the Georgie boy is the one to do it. So anybody who's not familiar with Ben Cunnington, he's sort of a very, well, underrated player. He's a bit balding. He hasn't got any pizzazz. You think he's really slow. But in actual fact, he's averaging 29.5 disposals this season. He's ranked in the top 10 for just about every stat known to man. He has 75% disposal efficiency. Now, look, he handballs it a lot, far more than what he kicks it. But really
he doesn't turn it over.
75% disposal efficiency, you know, you'd actually kill your own mother, actually, to have somebody in your team who's hitting it with that kind of efficiency. Well,
certainly at the Swans anyway.
Certainly. And as I said before, 17.8 contested possessions a game, including 8.1 clearances.
Yeah.
If we have any hope of winning, we have got to stop Ben Cunnington doing that against us. So, George, it's over to you.
Look, Ben Cunnington's a bit of an odd player because he's not, you're right, he's not a pizzazz, you know, flashy kind of like a Dangerfield or like Chris Judd used to be, you know, this exciting player. He's more of a like a Matt Prittis. He's a kind of like a bit of a plodder, but he is so strong. He's like no one has been able to move him off the ball. And his center of gravity is so low that he can just run through a pack, pick it up, and off he goes. And no one can tackle him. No one can get him. So, and he's a great tackler too. He's a bit of a tackling machine. So, yeah, I agree with that. That is a great matchup. We've got to stop him 100%. And then you also throw in your Zeebles when they go into the midfield and your Sean Higgins as well, who is an elite ball user. So when he's on fire, he's getting 30-plus touches every single week.
Absolutely. I'm starting to feel scared, Justin. Let's move on to the next point.
Key points. Heather, you want to give us your key point for the victory?
Well, like one of our friends on social media pointed out, I feel like we just really need to produce consistent football over four quarters, over the whole game, because I think that it sounds extremely simple and I know it is very hard for the young players to be able to produce that week in and week out, and that's something that Coach John Longmire has flagged as something that probably won't happen week in and week out. But I feel like if the Swans can just execute their game plan and keep at it for four quarters and not be discouraged if North Melbourne kick a couple of goals and really run it out, I think we've got what it takes to beat North Melbourne. They're not one of the top teams. If we can't do that, we will definitely lose. And that's been the story of season 2019. And it's pretty boring, but that's what I sort of think in terms of this game.
I completely agree. When we've actually been consistent over four quarters, we've looked a pretty good team, maybe not a finals team. I mean, well, you look at some of the teams who are around about the finals, and I think if we played four quarters, we'd be better than them and we'd probably beat them. But you're right, like Longmire put out the challenge a couple of weeks ago, we can't play four quarters because we're a young and developing team, it's not going to happen. And lo and behold, we come out, we play four quality quarters against Essendon. So I think there's a bit of mental games as far as Longmire's gone. He's kind of given them the carrot version of the stick, you know. He's kind of given them a bit of a prodding, a public prodding, you know. Let's lift, let's be a bit better than we've been. And the players responded, but you're absolutely right. If we drop off for 15, 20 minutes, they're dangerous enough to blow us away. Fortunately, the defense has been pretty ordinary and their forward line has been pretty ordinary so far this season, but their midfield has been their strength for years and it still is pretty strong. My key point, we kind of touched on this before when you asked me about Sinclair and Goldstein. It comes back to that a bit. Goldstein is going to win the ruck contest. There is absolutely no doubt about that whatsoever. Pray for an injury if I'm Sinclair. But the only way that we can punish him is if we're sharking the taps and we get the clearances and we really make them work hard and we punish them when we have the ball. So for me, it's get the taps, shark them, and just make Goldstein earn it.
And that actually leads me into my next point in terms of predictions for the week ahead. And that is that, you know, Luke Parker, I reckon he's the kind of player that once he gets himself into a little bit of form, he does tend to carry on with it. He's not a sort of hot and cold player. He tends to go in real runs of good form. I reckon Luke Parker is the kind of player, and he had an excellent game last weekend. I feel like he's going to continue on with that. And I think he's the kind of player who can actually do a bit of sharking, and he can really, as a leader on the field, as one of our co-captains, I feel like he can inspire some of the other players to actually do that. And I'm in my own mind, I'm seeing him actually sharking a few of the Goldstein taps and belting it out of that centre square straight into the forward line, and I'm seeing it in my mind's eye now, and I'm feeling good about that.
Yeah, well, if we go back to the last time we played, they only had 3 more clearances despite the fact they had 31 more hitouts. So the Swans can do it. They've done it before. The midfield quartet is largely unchanged from the last time we played. So, look, I agree. It's a great one. Luke Parker to have a good game. I'm on you with that one. My prediction, I've kind of talked about this before, but Goldstein will have 30-plus more hitouts than Sinclair, but Sinclair will kick 2 goals.
I love that. I love it.
I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful.
Yeah, we can tell that you're a Swans fan, Justin Mitchell, exactly like myself with that prediction.
I always got to think on the positive. And look, Sinclair, all things considered, the last 18 months, he's actually been probably Sydney's standout player. Sure, he's you know, had some form drops and injury concerns, and the couple of weeks he's played against, you know, your GWS's, your Melbournes and your Collingwoods, where he's been absolutely flogged in the ruck physically and competitively. But the fact that he's actually been able to do it, and I don't think he's missed a game since 2017, is really quite phenomenal, and it really just shows how physically robust he is as well.
Oh, 100%. I absolutely love Callum Sinclair because, you know, he'll never be the most talented player out in the field. He's very modestly talented, but he never gives up. He just keeps going. You whack him around, he breaks a few things, you know, he cuts himself, he gets beaten up, he gets smashed in the ruck. It doesn't really matter what happens to him. He just keeps going on. He's quite remarkable.
Yeah, he is. He's been good quality for us. He's been a great pickup, especially when you look at the ruck situation where Darcy Kerman had a calf strain in the knee full, and the Swans haven't released a modicum, not even a breadcrumb of information about that. And the initial diagnosis after the match was calf strain. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the knee full side this weekend if they actually line up with him, because then it means maybe something else is at play with that one. But now let's move on to the weekend forecast. So my sure thing for the weekend, Heather, is it will be freezing cold and it will most likely rain. It's not very adventurous, I know, but that's my weather prediction.
Now, I just have to ask you just a very small question. Justin, have you checked the highly reliable Bureau of Meteorology website forecast for the game?
No, I haven't actually been on bomb for like 3 months.
Right.
I know, okay. Someone said it's like supposed to be cold in Tasmania. I know Tasmania is cold, but I'm guessing it's going to be cold and raining at the same time.
Well, if it rains, and here's another question for you, does that improve the Swans' chances or does it diminish them?
Oh, we watched them in the wet against Brisbane. I don't think it helps us at all. But what do you think, Heather? Do you think it helps us?
No, I don't. Not at the moment, it doesn't. It used to. Not at the moment. But look, I have actually had a quick look at the Bureau forecast, and I do hate to rain on your parade, but I feel like that it is actually not going to rain.
Oh, that's
but
good
it
then.
Will be, I know, but it will be quite chilly. Apparently, it will be a maximum of 7 degrees overnight. Oh. So, I mean, that'll be fairly chilly for the Swannies as compared to their usual. But look, let's hope that there's some sort of, you know, well, you know what, for all the Swan supporters attending that game, I hope it doesn't rain because I think they'll enjoy sitting out there eating their pies without getting rain into it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. They're going to enjoy the nice hot beverages and hot food on offer down in Bellerive. So get stuck in and keep warm. Heather, your sure thing?
My sure thing is that every single Melbourne commentator, journalist and wannabe, you know, footy expert, a bit like myself, will certainly tip North to win.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no doubt about that.
Yeah, it's not a bad one, not a bad one at all. Now, you're most at stake, Heather?
At my most at stake, and this is going to come as no surprise to anyone, least of all you, Justin, is that Dane Rampey will be ridiculed mercilessly, not only by every single supporter wearing blue and white at the ground, but he'll be ridiculed mercilessly by all of the North players as well for his antics from last weekend, climbing up the goalpost and basically making a spectacle of himself for the entire AFL and the world in general. So I hope Dan Rampey doesn't make a mistake, doesn't do anything stupid, doesn't say anything stupid. I hope he has an exemplary game and keeps his mouth shut.
Yeah,
I really, really do. Because really and truly, he's going to cop it no matter what.
Yeah.
What
now,
about
look,
you?
I did my most at stake before I saw yours, and my most at stake was Spider Rampey. And I put that a bit loosely because it's more about the goalposts. So I think the goalposts are most at stake for this one if Rampey decides he wants to scale another one again. But I wholeheartedly agree with the fact that he is going to be ridiculed for what happened last week. And he better be on his best behaviour, having copped a $10,000 fine for umpire abuse and a $1,000 fine for trying to scale the goalposts. So, yeah, he's going to have to be on his best behaviour, Dane Rampey.
I feel like it. You know, I think I saw a little media conference with John Longmire where it was said that he certainly won't be trying that one again. And I feel like not only has Dane Rampey decided that he won't be doing that again, but I feel like that the club may or may not have told him he won't be doing that again as well.
He's a bit of an interesting character. He broke his arm trying to jump over a chain link fence and now he's scaled a goalpost. I wonder what he's going to do for his next adventure.
He's an eccentric character, isn't he, Justin? I think that's what we can certainly say about Dan Rampey. He's a very interesting man.
Yes,
and
he
you
is.
You only have to look at his, you have to just look at some of his sort of history and his the way, he's an interesting character. And you know what? The world is a better place for interesting characters.
Now, Doomsday Heather, could you please give us your Doomsday scenario?
Well, you know, I think I said to you before that there's many bad things that can happen in a game. I feel like if we lose by a very large score, let's say 100, but it could be any large score, to North Melbourne, that would probably be our doomsday scenario because what's occurred so far is that we've sort of been in a position where we've lost far more games than what we've won. But then we've come back last week against Essendon and managed to win a game that probably many didn't see coming. So there's been a bit of hope injected. I think to go down by extremely large margin on Saturday night would really make a lot of people cry. A lot of Swan supporters would really be down in the mouth about that one. And I think it would probably shoot down our season once and for all. An honourable loss would be better for them, would feel like it was a bit better anyway for the majority of supporters. So I'm going to go with a massive loss to North Melbourne would be a doomsday scenario for the Swans.
Yeah, it's a good one. And you're not wrong about the support and the morale. It'll fall off and it'll have a trickle-on effect to next season as well as far as memberships are concerned. And the vitriol that there is at the moment, I mean, there's a bit of positivity because we won against Essendon. Had we lost? Certainly, if Rampey had given away a free kick, that would have turned into just vile abuse almost. But if we do get flogged, it's that all that positivity that we built up with the Essendon win is going to be evaporated and people are going to be making some, I would say, some pretty not too positive and maybe absurd requests of the club as far as certain individuals go within the senior ranks of the football department. But look, my doomsday scenario is not a Swans-related doomsday scenario, Heather. It is actually a Brisbane Lions-related doomsday scenario. Yes, still hashtag Lions bandwagon. They are playing pretty well, and it's good to see the Brisbane Lions back up playing decent football. But my doomsday is that they continue their slide back down the ladder with another home ground loss, this time to the Crows. So they are equal on points. Not much separates them, about 12%, I think, in percentage. Similar for just Brisbane to conceded more against. So, yeah, look, they should be winning this game. And if they lose it, I reckon everyone's going to turn on Brisbane. the media itself, they'll turn on it because they should have beaten the Dogs. They're up against the Dogs and they just couldn't get it done. Yeah, they've blown plenty of chances this year already, Heather.
Yeah, they have. And look, I don't mind Brisbane. I think that they, you know, they've got a really attractive game style, and I'm sort of backing them to win this game. But that would be really disappointing because I hoped that they would beat Western Bulldogs last weekend, and they just really they couldn't get it done in the end, which was a bit of a shame. So, yeah, I'm hoping that they win that game and continue on their sort of improvement. They've got a lot of talented players, and you know, who doesn't like watching Charlie Cameron get around a footy field? He's a terrific player, and they've got a lot of upside to them, Brisbane. So, yep, I'm with you on that one. I'm really hoping that Brisbane come back and really nail it.
Yeah, look, the AFL needs it and Queensland needs it. And the Suns are doing pretty good. You know, they're playing competitive football, so the crowds, they will come back. And, yeah, Queensland AFL desperately needs those two teams playing well. And the as a whole, the NEAFL and more northern states of the AFL, you can also include, like, far north Queensland, your Cairns, your Northern Territories, it has a trickle-on effect, but certainly Queensland and New South Wales benefit from northern teams performing well. Look, that's it for tonight's show. Heather, thank you so much for joining me. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on again.
Thanks a lot, Justin, and thank you to all our supporters and listeners who tune in and listen to the podcast, and we hope that you stick with us and come back for another session next time.
Yes, now we will be back on Sunday. The lineup for that one is TBD, so stay tuned. We'll try and announce that on the Facebook page before it actually comes up. As always, you can get in contact with us during the week. Just hit us up with the tag The Swans Blog on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And you can also use the hashtags SwansCast and SwansCastExtra. We are listening to those, so send us a message, send us a comment. Whatever you want to do, just let us know. Until next time, Heather, go Swans.
Go Swannies.